And some of you have some of these in your glove box. Some of you wish that these were back in your glove box, right? Like, it was tangible. I could touch it. I could see where we were going and the things that were doing. I love these. I've got ideas for these. Most of them involve cutting them out and putting them in picture frames. But yeah, that's a story for another time. Or what about this? This picture right here. Does this describe your childhood, family vacation? Dad's like, everybody be quiet. I'm trying to figure out where to go in Chicago. But you could go anywhere with this, right? Like, just give me the map. I can tell you where to go. You're like, you couldn't, but you thought as a kid. But this was amazing. Having a map was phenomenal. Whether you have a GPS or a map, GPS changed things, right? You type it in your phone, you could find every garage sale in Rapid City in a heartbeat. It's great. And then in the middle of it was OnStar, right? Like, we could never afford it as a family, but when I got in rental cars, come on. I'm pressing that button as often as I could, specifically when I was in the south side of Chicago. Like, I was in a tight spot and had to get out of there. So that button got pushed. But some of you are like, I'm never touching GPS again. It never takes me where I want to go. Never, and you write it off, right? But the beauty of it all is that we finally find where we can go and we get to get there. And that's a beautiful thing. The people of Israel have been following God's GPS, his desired map, for a long time. And let's be honest, there were moments that they weren't even on the map. They had decided to go their own way. They had made their own decisions. They had put themselves in some precarious situations. They were never lost. God had them the whole time. Hear me when I say this. God had them the whole time, even though they were doing their own thing and going their own way. It was pretty crazy. And so this is where our King of Old series actually begins. This start, this place where the people of Israel chose to go off the map, away from the direct leadership of God, and they wanted a king. Let's check this out in 1 Samuel here. But the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said. We want to be like the other nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. So Samuel repeated what the Lord to the people had said, and the Lord replied, do as they say and give them a king. You know what my favorite button on GPS is? Because I'm an impatient guy, and you'll learn that a little bit later. It's the recenter button. This is where they should have pushed the recenter button. They should have got back on track. They would have said, you know what? I think we're making a mistake. I think we should go back to what God had for us. But they didn't. And let's be honest, they didn't win any battles. If God wasn't in it, they weren't winning it. God was the one that led them. God was the one that gave them the ability to win battles, to move forward, to go. And they had been warned from a long, long list of what was going to happen if they chose a king. There is just an unbelievable list of the things that were going to happen, the things that the kings would choose to do if they chose to go down this path. And they would be on this track for a long time. Some good, some bad, some crazy, as we have learned. I don't know if you know this, the guys that have shared already have done a great job. And I would encourage you, I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what this Kings of Old series has meant to you. If you've missed any, I would encourage you to go back. It's worth your time on the app or the website. Wherever you've been hanging out at, maybe you've been in a hammock for the last couple weeks, and if so, extremely jealous. That sounds fantastic, right? But some of you have been out of town or whatever. Hello, downtown, Tuesday nights, what's up, East? Hope you're having a great day. If you're online, I got to talk to somebody this week that has been watching from Russia. Come on, that's pretty phenomenal. It was cool to be able to make that connection and hear that. So check it out. Get caught up. Don't miss some of these. They've been so, so good. But we've been learning leadership from these different kings, and we've been finding ways that we can learn some of the things that they did well and some of the ways that maybe they weren't the kind of leader that God desired them to be. And today, we're on King Saul. And like I said, this is where it all begins. King Saul is the first king that comes out of this. And so we have Saul's beginning coming out of 1 Samuel here. Let's go ahead and check that out. So Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord. And the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Matrites was chosen. And actually, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So when they had asked the Lord, "Where is he?" And the Lord replied, "He is hiding among the baggage." So they found him, brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. Then Samuel said to all the people, "This is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is like him." And the people shouted, "Long live the king. Surely there is no one like him among the people." So all the people shouted, "Long live the king." So I don't know about you, but this is a pretty big day. And the time comes for the king to be announced, and he's hiding. Like, you imagine, picture for me, like family vacation. You're ready to go. You're in the car. Everybody's gone to the bathroom 8 times. And you're looking for your spouse. And where is your spouse? They're in the garage crying. "I don't want to come out. I don't want to go. I know they'll be arguing. I know we won't make it on time. We'll be disappointed." That was essentially the situation right now. It was time for him to shine. Listen, it was time for him to get going. And he wasn't anywhere to be found. Don't get me wrong. Saul had strong starts. Like, he was chosen. It said he was head and shoulders above everyone. There was no one in Israel quite like him. That's pretty big praise, right? He was chosen by God. That's another positive thing. If you read early on, he even prophesied multiple times, to where it said, what, is now even Saul a prophet? Like, this idea of God speaking into him through his voice to people. So those are some pretty great attributes to become king, to be chosen by God. But what we find out is it doesn't take long for this rocky road to be able to move forward. And Saul begins to do some things that set him up to not lead like he should be leading. The first one is Saul's quick move to a rocky road. He made hasty decisions and he blamed others. Now, I had a second grade teacher, Mrs. Nielsen, in Denison, Iowa. She was great. She said always, one of the things she said all the time was, "Chris, haste makes waste." And I had no idea what she was referring to until this week, when I was like, oh, she wanted me to just slow down. And when you're in, who slows down in second grade? Come on. Anyway, enough about Mrs. Nielsen. Let's go back to Saul. 1 Samuel 13:8. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, and Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offerings and the peace offerings," and Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Samuel was finishing the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet him and welcome him, but Samuel said, "What is this you have done?" Saul replied, "I saw my men scattering for me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would come, and the Philistines are at Michmash ready." Say that again. Like, Michmash is an awesome name. I love it. Anyway, Michmash, and they're ready for battle. "So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offerings myself before you came." How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom forever." A couple things. Why Samuel is so fired up. Offering burnt offerings was the priestly duty. It was not whoever and whenever you wanted to offer sacrifices. There was a plan prescribed by God for that to take place. So Saul going outside of this was a big deal. Secondly, Samuel, I don't know, like, I can now say I've been to Israel. The walk probably wasn't as gracious as Saul was making it. Well, you didn't come in 7 days. Well, maybe he got attacked by a lion. Maybe the road was gone. I don't know. But whatever it is, his unwillingness to wait cost him something. His unwillingness to follow through and embolden his troops. What was the biggest thing? His kingdom, his legacy was gone. Samuel makes it abundantly clear. Had you waited, God would have established your kingdom forever. And I need us to see this morning, our unwillingness to wait can pay dividends we don't even see yet. Our willingness to wait can pay dividends we don't even see yet. And some of you can attest to this, and some of you know. I'll give you a little glimpse in the Swarta house. The last couple of weeks have been entertaining. We have five workers. We have, we have four cars, okay? It's crazy. You take one of those cars away, and what happens? Pure and utter chaos. Who gets the car? Who doesn't get the car? And so we're praying and waiting. Do we fix this car? I don't know if the car is worth that much money. What should we do? So we're praying about it and wondering if we should do something different with cars. And it's my daughter's car, one of my daughter's cars. And she's like, this is a no-brainer. Fix my car. Let's go. We're going to wait. We're going to wait, okay? I love you. Now you know how it feels. It's great. Anyway, then, and so this kind of set the plan for her last couple weeks. Then her phone breaks and we're like, oh, we feel so terrible. And she's not like tied to her phone by any means, but her phone broke because her sister knocked it off and the screen went dark. And some of you are sweating because you just heard that, right? You're like, what would I do? Anyway, so we took it to a business and the business is like, all right, we'll fix it. Great. They fix it. They get it back. The home button doesn't work. Oh my word. Anyway, so we made her go and we're like, you've got to go back to the business and tell them what's going on. And she's like, I don't want to. I said, I don't care. Go. I said it very much more loving than that. You've got to go. You've got to go do this. Okay, my wife's laughing. Maybe I didn't say very loving at all. I don't know. You got to go. And so she goes down and the coolest thing happens. They're like, we broke your phone. Who admits that? But they did. We broke your phone. So we'll get you a new one. Which, hey, she waited, and some cool things are happening. So our willingness to wait can pay dividends we don't even see yet. And here's the thing. These are cars and phones. We are not waiting on much bigger issues. There are so much bigger issues that are taking place in the midst of our lives that we are rushing into, that we are being just callous and just jumping in, and we have got to do a better job at waiting. And I am one of those, I don't wait well. I don't wait well anywhere, okay? I'll just be honest. And the reality of it is that God is doing something that if we're willing to wait. I mean, another example is Saul let David jump into the battle and get his glory and allow David to become a hero. I mean, wait. Saul's lack of obedience. We're going to walk through some scripture here in the next couple, but Saul's lack of obedience becomes a spotlight. 1 Samuel 15:10. The Lord then said to Samuel, I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved that when he heard this, that he cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel had some skin in the game. Like, this was the guy that he made king for the people of Israel. So the fact that this wasn't working out so quickly suddenly became a big, big issue. Reading on. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering a fat of rams. Context of this passage of scripture is they had just gone into battle and the Lord said, wipe everything out. Nothing is left. Don't keep anything. Just get rid of it all. This is the enemy. This is what I want you to do. And Saul had this idea. Well, like, what if I just kept some of the best stuff? And we offered it to the Lord, and that would be great. And then finally Samuel comes on and says, what are you doing? Like, your offerings are not what God wanted. He wanted you to be obedient. He wanted you to walk this out in a way that was pleasing to him. And we have to understand, obedience and submission are greater than sacrifice and offerings. Now hear me. This is sexy. I know it's not sexy, but it's sacrifice and offerings. Look what I brought. Look what I can do. Look at, I made this big contribution. I'm on stage. Listen, we need great philosopher Justin Timberlake. We need to bring sexy back right here. We've got to. Because this is what God desires. He wants obedience and submission. He wants a willingness for us to walk out what he wants us to walk out. We can't get to obedience by just playing the part. God knows our heart. It begins with a heart to do the right thing in the right way for the right reason, no matter what, big or small. Obedience and submission is what God desires from his people. Don't give in. Be obedient, even if no one else is. And then this is where the rails come off in Saul's life and his kingship. Saul's fear led the way. And let's check out some verses here. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David, and he had turned away from Saul. Next verse. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness?" Now listen, Jonathan and David were best friends. It was a friendship unlike any other. And Jonathan was the rightful next king. But Jonathan knew that David was going to be the king, and he was okay with it because he was obedient to God and submissive to what God wanted for the kingdom of Israel. And in the middle of this, Saul was having none of it and going after his own kid. 1 Samuel 20, "As long as the son of Jesse is alive, you'll never be king. Now go and get him so I can kill him. But why should he be put to death?" Jonathan asked his father. "What has he done?" Then Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan, his son, intending to kill him. So at last, Jonathan realized that his father was really determined to kill David. And Saul went after pursuing David again and again, even to the detriment of his kingdom, his troops, and everything that was taking place. But that wasn't even the worst. In 1 Samuel 22, "Then Saul the king said to Doeg, 'You do it.' So Doeg the Edomite turned on them and killed them that day, 85 priests in all, still wearing their priestly garments." Whew, that's big. The rails are off and the train is just nowhere in sight because it is mangled and this kingdom is at an impasse, it seems like. Because Saul was rejected as king and David was going to be taking his rightful place as the next king of Israel. So where do you and I connect? Maybe you can resonate with some of these insights from Saul's life. Maybe this idea of sacrifice or obedience and offering or fear leading the way has been something that has been a struggle for you. We're going to look at some of these things I think that are so important for us to pay attention to. One of the first things is we have to let unchecked emotions create issues. We have to realize unchecked emotions create issues. Listen, I've done a lot of premarital counseling. Emotions will lie to you and lie to you and lie to you. They will tell you things that aren't true. They will guide your path wherever they want to take you. It will cause you to make hasty decisions. You will blame other people. Listen, unchecked emotions, you've got to own them. You've got to not let them drive the car. Because if you do, you will believe things that aren't true, you will make accusations, and things will not go well. Another example we need to learn from Saul's lack of leadership is we have to refuse rash decisions. We need to stop. We need to pray. We need to get in God's word. We need to find godly counsel, people that can gather around us and speak truth into us. Whether we're ready to hear it or not, we have to find those people. Saul had Samuel. There were multiple times, I believe, that through the course of all these actions in his kingship, that Saul could have went to Samuel and said, "Samuel, you made me king. You listened to God. What do I need to do?" And Saul just kept doing his own thing and going after it. And he kept making rash decisions. We must lead with patience in moments where it's required. In Psalm 27:14, it says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yet, yes, wait patiently for the Lord." Listen, hear me when I say this. A couple of things first. I know there are instances where we need to act. There are things that are no-brainers, right? You know that. I know that. But far too often, we are running into things where God's like, "Whoa, pump the brakes. I've got something for you you can't even see yet. I'm working in you. You're not ready yet. And trust me, that's tough to hear, right? When somebody tells you you're not ready, you're like, who are you? I'm God. I need you to listen to me. We need to wait patiently because there is a beauty at work in the patience of waiting on God. He is forming something in you. He is doing a work, and our unwillingness to wait sabotages what God wants and rushes us into a place where he never intended us maybe to be. Another issue is, do we have an obedience issue? Are you just being blatantly disobedient? I got this figured out. I'm doing life my own way. Things are going good, and you're just lying to yourself. Have you allowed others to lead where you should be leading? Are there decisions that you're not making that you should be making? And delay is dangerous. Are there decisions that you should be making as a leader, as someone that leads their house, their life, their family, that you better start making because you have been delaying them and ignoring them, and now is not the time to do that? Are you doing faithfully what you're called to do? If not, I believe that we have to begin to lead with prayer, bravery, and obedience. We have to begin to lead with prayer, bravery, and obedience. These are some great words. Have you prayed about it? Brave, courage. Man, there was a book I read. I finished it up earlier this year, and it was called Canoeing the Mountains by Todd Bolsinger. And it goes along with, it's a leadership book, but it goes along and parallels with the adventures of, the adventures, it sounds like Huckleberry Finn. Anyway, it goes along with the adventures of Lewis and Clark. Listen, I say this with a lot of love. If America was only New Orleans, Louisiana, New Orleans, and we didn't know what the Rockies were, come on. Like, the Rockies are amazing, the Bighorns, like the Columbia River Gorge. Like, can you imagine believing you're one of the first people to see those things? It'd be amazing. I still get stoked when I see the Columbia River Gorge. It's awesome. In the middle of these conversations, though, like, Lewis and Clark had to lead together. They were different people, but they came together to lead, and they led well. There were moments where people wanted to go one way or the other, but they convinced them, and they trudged through, and they brought impact, and they brought maps, and they brought knowledge to a country that Louisiana Purchase, if that was the best we had, I would be a sad day. Outside of Benet's, that'd be great. So anyway, so with that being said, there was a quote in there that stuck with me. If you don't trust someone on the map, you won't trust them where there is no map. Leadership is in the margins. If you don't trust someone on the map, you'll never trust them off the map. Lewis and Clark had to build that trust. There was no map for the Western United States, and they had to build trust. This was a little bit, and you didn't know anything here. Here's the kicker. God's map is very clear. And we have all the information we need. But if you don't trust God's word and trust what he says, you're never going to trust him when he begins to speak to you and begins to call you to do things that he's ready for you to do, that you have no idea to be listening to his voice. And maybe you're placing your trust in yourself when you should be placing your trust in him. So I just want to take a moment today. Maybe everything that I've talked about, from hasty decisions to disobedience, has been a mark of your life. And I want to just invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe today is the beginning of a day where you said, I want to trust Jesus as the leader of my life. I want to begin to be obedient and submit to what his word says, to what his map says, and begin to trust that he is going to walk that out. And so I would invite you, as I pray, if you would want to pray along with me, to make that decision to say yes to his leadership in your life, that I believe it would be the beginning of an amazing, amazing journey that God would have you on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a moment to pause. And we make a lot of decisions in our day, and many times it is because we want to make them and we don't stop and acknowledge you. God, you are the one that is the holder of the map and the GPS that we need for our lives. God, I would ask that you would help me today to begin to be obedient and to submit to the authority of Jesus in my life, and that I would begin to trust and walk out this life of faith that you are calling me to right now, and that you would help me find people and dive into your word that would help me grow and see you at work in new ways. We ask this in your name. Amen. I would encourage you, there is a card in front of you. If you prayed that prayer, just put down your name, at least your email or your phone number, and said, I began that relationship, and give it to the Next Steps table as you go today. But hear me when I say this, for those of you that have been following Jesus, and for those of you that now are following Jesus, do you feel like you've gone off the map? I've had enough conversations in the midst of my life to understand that sometimes there are huge decisions and conversations that are taking place that I think I'm doing the right thing, but I'm far off where God wants me. Maybe you felt God leading one way and you made the decision to go the opposite way. Have you compromised? Have you been disobedient? Where have you gone off the map, essentially putting it away and leading yourself? Where is it time now to recenter? To recenter and recommit to living obediently to what God says, and understanding that makes a progress, that takes a process. Understanding that reality takes. I have a picture for you. This is me in college. My wife still looks fantastic, which is awesome. I not so much probably, but this is amazing. I graduated high school. And I thought I had Mr. Jansen. Mr. Jansen fired me up about business. I wanted to go work for Nike. I was ready to make commercials. I was ready to open sports stores and take over the sports market in America. I was pumped. And my mom and dad put the challenge out and said, hey, go to Oklahoma Wesleyan for 1 year at least and go from there. And so I went and I met Dr. Arnholt. And Dr. Arnholt was the business head, and he was one of the most boring men I've ever met. And I learned to hate business really quick. Here's an interesting story. My wife went to work for him. Why would you do that? I don't know. Anyway, great guy, terrible professor in my opinion. Anyway, so he just killed my joy for business. I got in his class and I had no desire to be anywhere near business. Because if that was his business, no thank you. So then I was like, okay, what do I do after my freshman year? Well, you know what? I had Mr. Whited, and I could be a gym teacher. I could play dodgeball the rest of my life. That would be amazing. So I went into elementary education. And you know who was the head of the elementary education? Dr. Arnholt's wife. She killed any joy I had about hanging out with kids. It was terrible. So I went into my junior year undecided. Okay, guys, pro tip. If you are dating someone seriously or beginning to date someone seriously and you tell them as a junior in college, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do in a year or two, that's just not going to go well. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Thankfully, I don't know. She stayed and I am blessed beyond measure. So 2 days, literally almost 2 days before we were leaving for Christmas break, we had a spiritual emphasis week. And Rachel and I, make it sound spiritual, Rachel and I didn't actually go to the meetings. But we went and checked in with some of her friends that had gone. And towards the end of this conversation we were having, one of her friends said something, and I just, without missing a beat, I piped in, I said, I think it's easy. I think this is what you have to do. You've got to do this to make a change. And it was like an instant moment where God's like, And the girl said, that's just what I would want my pastor to say. And I went back to my room and I cried for 2 hours. And God was like, are you done? Are you done crying? Are you done doing life your own way? You've gone through the process and it hasn't really worked all that well, has it? And I called Rachel and I said, I think I'm supposed to go into ministry. And she's like, yeah, I know. I know. And I went and sat down with the professor the next day and I said, I'm Dr. Thompson, I'm supposed to go into ministry. He's like, I know. It's catching a theme. And I switched all my classes and I got to spend an extra year at college. It was awesome. But God opened the doors through that process of being willing to submit, to being obedient, to walking out. Because I had zero desire to be a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor, my dad was a pastor, and I had zero desire. I remember a note my dad wrote me. First line on the note, don't do it. And I was like, that's not the note you're supposed to write me, man. And after that, it said, unless you can't imagine doing anything else. And it took my junior year, second semester to realize that God was at work and directing. So if we're going to be obedient to Christ, if we're going to walk this out, we have to remember some things. And first things first is we have to remember who we are in Christ. We have to remember who we are in Christ. Saul had been chosen by God. Saul had been chosen by God. But there's some verses that I think you and I need to hold on to. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. God is doing a new work in you. Who you were before you said yes to Christ to who you are is going to be different. It should be different because Christ is in you. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That was to the people of Israel, but the promise is still true. God commands us to be strong and courageous and to trust him no matter what, wherever we go. Matthew 28:18 and 19, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have been given authority to go and tell people about Jesus. If you're like, well, how do I go? You go with authority. You go with a willingness to be bold and courageous to tell people about Jesus. So we need, if we're going to lead with this, we need to reaffirm the commitment to follow his map. We need to reaffirm the commitment to follow his map. We are all leaders, whether it's ourselves or others. Are we willing to do what we say we're going to do and be who we say we're going to be? Andy Stanley, I was at a conference a number of years ago, and he said something that still sticks with me. We're only one decision away from losing everything. We're only one decision away from losing everything. But I would challenge that. We are only one decision away from changing everything. We're only one decision away from changing everything and walk in submission and obedience. God would have established Saul's kingdom forever. Imagine what he could do with your life if you would submit and be obedient today. The last thing I want to challenge you with is our obedience and submission keep us centered. They keep us centered to love God and to love others, to go where he says to go, to do what he says to do, to be who he says he calls us to be. A willingness to do what God says no matter what. No matter what you think the map looks like, no matter where you think the map is taking you to the places that you don't even know about yet. Would you be willing to be centered in the love of God to walk in obedience and submission to him? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, whether someone made a decision to say yes to you, God, we celebrate that because that is the beginning of something that is awesome. But for those of us today, wrestling with those things that we talked about early, disobedience and rash decisions and just hasty mistakes and letting emotions lead the way. May we today recenter ourselves to you and to what you call us to. May we be obedient to walk out what you call us to walk out, and may we be willing to be the people of God that you call us to be. Heavenly Father, that you would get the glory in our lives and that you would allow our world to see people that walk in obedience and walk in a commitment to love God more than anything. And that you would help us fight off those temptations to lead our own way, but to be led by you. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for this day. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.